Mother's Day to all the fathers. We want to spend some time honoring fathers this morning and just say happy Father's Day to you. And as a father myself, to men, and almost a charge this morning to continue to teach your children in the way that they should go. And it's a great honor and responsibility to be a father, and it's a joy to be able to do that. And so I encourage you, whether you are a father yourself or in a father-like role of somebody, I encourage you to love them just as our Heavenly Father loves us. And as we talked about in previous weeks, that God's kindness leads us to repentance. God's kindness leads us to change. So again, happy Father's Day. What an honor that is. And just pray that many of us, we would take that honor just with the great weight that it is, and to love others and to love our children. So with that being said, we are going to continue into our sermon series In Over Our Heads, as we are looking at, really we're looking at the book of Jonah. And so if you could turn to Jonah, and if you're not familiar with the Bible, if you, almost towards the end where the New Testament is, you can go a few pages, a few books and pages to your left, and that's where you'll find Jonah. And so last week we got into the good story of Jonah. If you weren't here last week, Jonah is a prophet. And Jonah, what most prophets do, not really, but what Jonah does, God says, I want you to go to Nineveh, and he does the exact opposite, and he decides to go to Tarshish. God says, I want you to go west, or God says, I want you to go east, and he goes west. He does the exact opposite of what God calls him to do. And that's us. That's me. God calls me, Balcony, I forgot about you. Good morning as well. Balcony, woo! God calls us to follow him, and we do the exact opposite. We don't listen like he tells us to. And so we find ourselves in situations we're in over our heads. We end up getting into this mess, and that's what Jonah does. Jonah disobeys God, and then all of a sudden, God sends a storm in his life, and we all have storms, don't we? And maybe it's some of the things that you and I, we get into. It's the mistakes that we make, the lies that we tell, and we cover one lie after another, or maybe we're not honest with ourselves, or we're not honest with our partner. Or maybe somebody gives us feedback and we just get angry and we don't receive that criticism. And so it's almost like a snowball effect, isn't it? You do something wrong, somebody criticizes you for it, and then you just get angrier because they criticized you. And so ends up being a snowball, and we end up getting in a bigger mess than we originally intended. So that's really what Jonah is in. He's in this storm, and then what happens is Jonah says there's one way out. And we learn that this was Jonah's, maybe his most cowardly act. He says, if you throw me into the storm, into the sea, then the sea will be calm. And there Jonah didn't have to obey God. He said, God still wanted him to go to Nineveh, but he told the sailors that he was on the boat with, he said, if you throw me in, the sea will be calm. And the sea was calm. And so there we left off. Jonah was sinking to his death. And there what we have is this story where we're going to pick up. We're going to pick up at the end of 1:17 and go on to 2. But let me say this. This story of Jonah is a constant. Where we're looking at today is that God is a God that pursues us. That no matter what you've done, where you've been, there's a God who loves you and will restore you. A God who lovingly restores you no matter all of our rebellion, all the ways we've ran from God. And that's what Jonah does. Jonah keeps running from God, and yet there's a God that continues to pursue him. Yet it's often what I found as a student way back when, one of my first jobs or second jobs was lifeguarding. And it was so interesting. In lifeguarding, you're taught how to rescue people. And so you're going to help them. But often, you would think when you go to help them, they're just, oh, thank you. And they would have so much gratitude. But do you know one of the first things we were taught as a lifeguard? is how to defend ourselves. Essentially, it was UFC fighting in the water. Because why? When you would go up to a victim, somebody that's drowning, they have vertigo. They don't know which way's up, down, and then something comes and they feel something, and all they want to do is climb up the ladder, they would call it, and just get to the top. So they don't care about the rescuer. It's just, you're going under. And so as a lifeguard, you're taught release moves, kick moves, all these different moves. I mean, it's ninja training, essentially. You go out to save somebody, and because what would often happen is somebody would go out untrained, would go to save somebody, and they themselves, they would both drown because they weren't properly trained. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, man, although we have a God that cannot be drowned and a God that cannot be harmed, often when we come to get rescued by God, we do kicking, clawing, and we do the exact opposite of what we need to do to be rescued. You know, there's a saying, that person just needs to hit rock bottom before maybe they finally learn. Studies actually have shown that when you hit rock bottom, you are in a state almost like vertigo. You don't know which way is up and down. And it's actually more difficult to get out of situations like that. So how do we get out of situations like that if you've hit rock bottom? Or how do we prevent hitting rock bottom or even helping somebody from hitting rock bottom? And so we'll look at some of that this morning. So Jonah gets thrown into this sea, into this mess. And if we could pull up the quote that we have by Jonah, I want us to look at, Jonah's in the water, and this is just directly from the passage, just skipping around a little bit, but it says this, here's a reflection that we have, Jonah gets thrown into the water, and then now we have later on this psalm, this reaction of Jonah, where he's describing the situation, and look what he says, in my distress. Think about distress, whether it's hardship, whether it's difficult things. And the reason Jonah was in the situation, he caused it. He ran from God. And that's much like our situation. When we disobey God, we get into a world of mess. And think about distress, stress, distress, the stress of our lives, of disobeying God, the problems we get into it. So he says, in my distress, I called to the Lord. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All of your waves and breakers swept over me. I've been banished from your sight. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains, I sank down. The earth beneath me barred me in forever. My life was ebbing away. My life was ebbing away. Do you ever feel like that? Maybe it's not physically, or maybe it is a physical situation, but maybe you're in a situation where you just feel like the sea is swirling all around you. And maybe you're just in a time in your life where you feel like you can't escape. Or maybe you're not there. Maybe everything's good. But as we look in with Jonah, well, I'll get to that point in a second. If you're in a good situation, I want you to hang on. If you're good, in a good situation, bear with me for just a few moments, because I think there's something in here that God offers even so much more, even if you might not be in that situation. But we'll get there. But I want us to do this, if you're taking notes. The first note you can fill in the blank is to cry out to God, your God, no matter where you are. Cry out to God, your God, no matter where you are. Listen to this. Verse 1, chapter 2. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord. So, let me back up just a little bit. Here's what happens. Jonah in the story, in verse 17, we find out that Jonah gets thrown overboard. And what happens to Jonah is that he ends up becoming swallowed by a giant fish. Now, this is where some of us might, maybe if we've grown up in church, we accept the story. But maybe some of us don't. We hear this part. So Jonah's swimming. He's sinking to his death. He's in the middle of all this suffering and his pain. And it says this. So he says, he cries out to God, verse 1, in my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he answered me. God answers his prayer. How does he answer his prayer? It's in 117. Back up just one verse. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. So Jonah was swallowed up, and whether we can begin to look at this scientifically, whether it's in the belly or even this term could be just the inside, engulfed. So Jonah could have been physically in the mouth of Jonah. Now, there have been many good Christians that have not necessarily believed this is more of a metaphor, and that's, there are good Christians that believe this. I personally, when I look at this, and you even hear Jesus describes in Matthew 12, he goes on to say, Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days. And he says, just like Jonah was in the belly for 3 days, I will be too in the earth, and I will die, and I will rise again. That's in Matthew 12. So Jesus refers to Jonah. So if you struggle with this, here's what I want us to break down a little bit. Jonah could simply be in the mouth where he could get oxygen. But I'd also look at it this way. If you still struggle scientifically with this, and that's okay. What I begin to see is this, that the wonder of it all. Here's a God that creates a theme throughout the book of Jonah. If you take a step back and you look at Jonah 1, 2, 3, and 4, a theme throughout is that God is the creator of the heavens and the seas. And you see this right here. Look at this in verse 117. Now the Lord provided a huge fish. God sent, he provided. So God intervenes. God intercepts the migration pattern of this fish or whale. And in the technological term, the term here, fish, doesn't exclude mammals. So a whale could be the description of this giant fish. All we know that it was big enough to swallow Jonah. So God directs this fish to swallow Jonah. And think about this. Is that too far-fetched for a God of the universe who created the whole entire universe? I mean, just think about our bodies and think about, do you know, just in our brain, 1 gram of our brain, 1 gram of the matter in our brain had in those, I don't even know how they begin to study this, but over 400 billion synapses and connections. Think about that. Do you know, just on your skin in 1 square inch, there's over 32 million microbes, bacteria that just live on there and interact and work in healthy ways that take care of your skin. Do you know our bodies are made of, they estimate about 37.2 trillion cells. Trillion. And think of many of these cells, they have the DNA chromosomes, the pairs, 23 pairs in each, and they're instructing the cells what to do. And you have 37.2 trillion of these things going around your body, forming your eyes, your ears, your hair, your nails, all of these things in your body working together. Could the God who designs these things intervene and have a whale do what he wants to do? I think yes. I think yes. And I think it causes me to wonder at the miracle of this. Now, are there some things that need to be figured out? Absolutely. Just like when God parted the Red Sea, scientifically, there's some things that don't make sense. When God caused the sun to stop, that those things don't make sense scientifically, but we would describe them as a miracle. And we can choose. That's where a point of faith comes. You can either choose to believe it or choose not to. Now, I believe in the scriptures we can scientifically study these things and look at the scriptures and the archaeology of so much of what's saying. This isn't just some story of Jonah gets thrown in the water and we have to figure out how he survived. How did he end up back on shore? Oh, let's say a whale swallowed him. That would be pretty far-fetched for anybody, even back in these days. But what's being described is that there's a God of the universe who, when Jonah was thrown in the water, the sea went calm because God said, it's finished. And then there's a God who's in control of all of this, causes the whale to come to put Jonah in his mouth or belly and then takes him on. But what I want us to see is that God is the one that sent. And I mean, underline that. Cry out, as we talked about, cry out to God, your God, no matter where you are. Jonah said, in my distress, I called to the Lord. Notice back at 2 verse 1 says this, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. His God. Jonah had been disobeying God. He knew what God wanted him to do. God said, go to Nineveh, and he went to Tarshish. And Jonah still says, this is my God. Because why? Jonah is deeply connected. He knows that God is a loving God. And we're going to get to, man, chapters 3 and 4, dive into this even more. And I hope you, Jonah, join us the following weeks where we look at chapters 3 and 4. And I encourage you to read it. But Jonah knew intimately that here was a God who is loving and forgives and loves his children, even though Jonah did the exact opposite. So Jonah's in distress, and he cries out to his God. It's his God. Would you cry out to your God, the only one true God, the creator of heaven and earth, the God who knit you in your mother's womb, who designed you, who crafted you. He is your God. The God of the universe is also the God that reveals himself to us. Would you maybe spend some time this week and cry out to him? Maybe in your pain, in your storm, or maybe you're just like Jonah. Maybe just in the darkness, in the belly. I mean, let's look at this. So imagine this. Jonah's here, and he gets swallowed up by this fish or this whale. I mean, it's weird, right? So wouldn't you get thrown, you're running from, so imagine yourself as Jonah. Okay, you're this prophet. And you're running, God told you to go one way, you disobeyed God, and then now for the consequences of that, you get thrown into the sea. And so you're being punished. And so as you're sinking about, Jonah was saying, I'm about to die. And he cries out to God, and then he gets swallowed by a fish. You're dying, and now all of a sudden, I mean, imagine that. You're in the mouth of a fish. There wasn't Listerine for the whales, right? There's no Colgate, no fresh breath for this whale. Yet notice, let's take a look at this. I thought this was so odd because I tried reading this text over and over, and I tried to read a different response because I'm imagining that I'm Jonah, and I'm sitting here, I'm like, wait, what's the disconnect? Because notice this, Jonah doesn't write, he's not crying out, God, I'm in the middle of a terrible situation, help me. He's sitting there, he's got nowhere else to go. I mean, how comfortable? He doesn't have a lazy boy in there, right? He's not just kicking back like, hey, I've got a 3-day vacation. He's sitting there with other rotten maybe fish or plankton and just, it's seaweed and see the smell. But notice the tone as he writes what we would call this psalm of thanksgiving. He says, verse 1, in my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the deep in the realm of the dead I called for help, and God, you listened to my cry. God listened to his cry. He's happy about this, and he goes on as just as we read. And then in verse 6, it says, to the roots of the mountains I sank down, the earth beneath me barred me in forever. But you, Lord, my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you. Lord, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. So here he goes. He remembers that God, his God, was the one that rescued him. It wasn't a perfect situation. And so what I find so interesting is that Jonah has a different perspective, right? If many of us were swallowed by a fish, I would be complaining, right? God, why couldn't, okay, I've made a mistake. Like, can I be on the beach and can I, you know, be relaxing? At least a little more leg room, please. Somewhere that doesn't stink. But yet, notice Jonah doesn't complain and he's so thankful. He's so thankful. And you know what's so interesting? I was reading this week on some articles about people that become paralyzed through accidents. And so some of them are still dealing with a lot of nerve pain and tragedies. But the study was showing that how when people become paralyzed or different, have life, just almost devastating events in their life, and they notice that they can still find happiness. And actually, a good percentage of them actually still do. And a lot of them find happiness in just the simple little things of day to day. Drinking a cold glass of water, because now they realize, wow, I didn't realize how good water feels going down my throat. Think about the God of the heaven and the heavens and the earth that creates water. Water is an amazing thing. And so just being thankful for the simple things. I found that myself this week trying to be thankful for the little things that God does in our life. Because here's what I want in the second point. I want us to do is to take time to realize how God has rescued you. Take time to realize how God has rescued you. Jonah was forced for 3 days to think about it. And it wasn't necessarily in a good situation. Don't wait for when my life gets this way, then I'll thank God. Or then I'll be in a good situation. Jonah was inside of a whale. And he stops and he thanks God. Now what I love about this story, and I hope you hear this right here, Jonah's not a perfect example. But I think he does get this part right. He's almost forced and he stops. Jesus encouraged this. Jesus said, get alone, shut the door when you go and pray. You don't need to pray in front of everyone to get your attention, because that's your reward, is getting the attention. But go, close your bedroom door and be with God. Pray to God. Write a song of thanksgiving. Write how God, the rescuer, the great rescuer, has rescued you. Because here's what's going to happen, friends. You and I will forget. We will forget whether you've been a Christian for a long time. Maybe you forgot the joy, as the scriptures say, the joy of our salvation. God has rescued us, and there's a joy that comes from that. Yet, this world can sap that. We can say, well, I don't have the leg room, or I don't have this, and I don't have that, and we begin to lose joy. The other day, just yesterday, in fact, I was, a whole family, we were at the beach together. And I took my little girls, my wife was with my little boy, just holding him. And so I decided to take both my girls into the water. And every time at the beach, my girls, you know, we don't go to the beach often. And so there's this adjustment to the power of the waves. And so my youngest one's a little braver. And so she goes out with me, and my older one's a little bit behind me. And there's like a little dip in the beach. The shore's like this, and then there's a little deep. So she gets caught off guard, my older one does. And she takes a step down. Now the water's a little higher. I mean, we're still talking, you know, knee length or knee depth. Some of you are like, what are you doing to your kids? I'm not abusing my kids. Don't worry about it. So it's just, she barely dips down. And as soon as she does, the wave hits her and kind of knocks her, disorients her. And she goes running back to mom like, I'm done, I'm done. So I go after her, no, come on out. Like, and so I've got her hands, and I'm sitting here, and we're very shallow in some of the waves. And these waves are just, you know, maybe halfway up my shin, and they're jumping over them, and they begin to laugh and giggle, and I have both their hands, and they're just, I'm enjoying the joy that they have. And there's power in the sea, but all of a sudden they're laughing and playing. They're like, let's go deeper. And we keep going a little deeper and deeper. And then this one wave comes, maybe just a little above my knee. And my oldest daughter goes, this is the biggest wave ever. And she sees it coming and she's like, oh, and she's just having fun and jump. And I was laughing because I was thinking about the perspective. Here, the little waves knocked her down, but then this big wave that was knee-high, the biggest wave ever. Her exact words, I think, were in the whole wide world. probably in her mind, it's the biggest one she's ever seen. But isn't that us? Sometimes we're faced with waves, with problems, and it's the biggest problem ever. Yet time sometimes gives us perspective, or life circumstances gives us perspective, or sometimes God's goodness gives us perspective, because God rescues you. Just as I was holding my little girl and making sure this time I didn't blow it, God never blows it, and he's always holding our hand through the waves. And as I was holding it, she began to build confidence. Friends, that's what happens to you and me. God rescues you. God delivers you. God holds on to your hand through the storms. But guess what? We can quickly say another wave, another storm comes and say, oh no. Because we forget, if we don't take time to remember, if we don't gain the perspective that God has delivered us from previous storms, oh, God, Father, took care of me when that wave was this high for me. He'll take care of me for the next wave. When you remember that, I've shared with you in the past some of my past struggle with finances and having a background in the financial industry. I loved all my finances secure, and so being a pastor, the income wasn't rolling in. It's just the life of the ministry. But I was always, my heart was worried about it. But when I saw God constantly take care of me, time after time after time, checks would show up out of nowhere, different ways, food on the table, and God always took care of us as a family. When the bank account started to say zero, I stopped worrying because I knew there was a God who was going to take care of me. There's a God that will take care of you, and sometimes we don't have that perspective. But when you take time to realize it, journal it, write it down. Because sometimes you'll notice, maybe in your Christian faith, maybe you're struggling. As Celebrate Recovery says, it talks about our hurts, our habits, our hangups. Maybe there's some things in your habits in your life you're trying to kick, or some hurts, some pain in your life, something that has happened to you. And something you're just trying to get rid of, and you can't, and you're trying, and you're trying, and you're a little bit overwhelmed. But may you know that God comes into these storms with you. He's holding your hand, and he wants to rescue you, and he wants to help you. But if you've maybe kicked some of these in the past, maybe you've had some of these habits, and you've kicked them, but you've gotten further along in your life, and now you're harder on yourself because, oh, how could I fail again? Maybe you've forgotten how God's even delivered you from the very beginning, because he's brought you on this path, and you're in a much better place now, but now you make a mistake, and you dip much further, but you're so hard on yourself. How could I do that? Yet, when you turn back and look where God has rescued you, oh, you know what? God has rescued me from a far deeper place. Not that it justifies any of that, but that we would thank God and say, you know what? God, you are at work in my life. You have rescued me. And no matter what storm I face, you will rescue me. I mean, look at this, Jonah, right? What did Jonah do right? He ran from God. He ran from him. He was a runner. And God pursues him. God goes after him, and God rescues him. Maybe you've made a mess of your life, but God wants to enter into your pain. He wants to enter into your habits that you just are making a mess of your life. He wants to enter into these, and he wants to pull you out. Because here's what happens in this story. Continue on with me and we'll bring this to a close. Verse 8 and 9. This is Jonah's words. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And then of verse 10, here's what happens. And the Lord commanded the fish and vomited Jonah into dry land. Jonah gets thrown up by the whale. It's not a pretty sight, right? I mean, imagine, he's already leg room's tight, and now he gets thrown up. But imagine this. He could have been thrown up anywhere. He could have been in the middle of the sea. What if the whale vomits him up in the middle of the sea? He's doomed. But what Jonah does, what I want us to take notes in this last one, respond to your rescuer and change your course. Respond to your rescuer and change your course. Jonah has this prayer and he says that I will make a sacrifice. I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. He says this, what I have vowed, I will make good. Do you remember he was told to go to speak to Nineveh? He ran from it. So he's running from God. He says, you know what, God? I'm going to do what you told me to do. In a sense, I'm sorry. I'm coming back. And notice this. If you're new and just beginning in the faith, and are just exploring, we're glad you're here. But notice, this isn't some complex prayer. He says, what I have vowed, I will make good. God, salvation comes from God. God is the rescuer. He says, God, you are the rescuer, and I'm actually going to do what I said I was going to do. I'm going to honor God, and I'm going to go tell Nineveh, like you told me, to go preach to them. So essentially, he's going to love God and love others. But his prayer is, God, I'm going to stop disobeying you. I'm going to stop doing what I want to do, and I'm going to do what you want to do. And at this moment, that's when the whale vomits him up. In a sense, what we have, there's a death of Jonah. Jesus hinted at it in Matthew 12. He says, just as Jonah was buried, he was in the sea for 3 days in this fish, and 3 days later, Jonah would rise in a sense. Jesus said, 3 days, I will die, I will be in the belly of the earth, and I will rise. Jesus was resurrected because Jesus conquered death. Jonah, in some sense, had a death of his own. And that's what Romans, if we could pull up Romans 6:4, says this. Romans 6:4 says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism unto death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may too live a new life. Do you see that? We were buried with him through baptism into our death. So just as Jesus was in the belly of the earth, he rose again. Just as Jonah, imperfect Jonah, Jonah who ran from God, Jonah who made a bunch of mistakes, he just says, you know what? I was on this path. Here I am, God. I'm going to do what you say. And knowing this, if a sneak peek into chapters 3 and 4, Jonah still makes mistakes. And guess what? God knew that. You and I, we're still going to make mistakes. Yet maybe this is a time in our lives, maybe we're doing this, we're running from God, and maybe God's calling us to come back to him. God, I've been disobeying you, I've been doing what I want, and now's the time I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And salvation, rescue, part of the response, with a response comes resurrection. You have the rescue, you have the response, Jonah turns, and then you have resurrection. You have a new life, a new beginning. Jonah is actually going to deliver one of the most important messages to the people of Nineveh. He's going to tell them about a God who loves them despite their disobedience. And what better person to tell them because somebody who has been very disobedient to God. Maybe some of you have that opportunity. You know, as I was out there with my little girls, I remember I was out there and there was another couple who had little kids, a little boy and a little girl. And this was moments after when my girls are out there playing and now they're comfortable and they're just clapping and just the joy. And the mom and dad said, hey, they were just getting into the water and they said, see, look at those little girls. They're having fun swimming. You can do it too. I wanted to say, oh man, I wish you could see my girls 5 minutes ago. They were scared to death. And maybe that's you. Man, you've been disobedient with God, and what God wants us to do, he wants us to turn back to him. And he actually gives us a new purpose. Jonah's in the belly, and now he's resurrected. He's spit out into shore. He's given a new beginning. How many of us, we could use some second chances? Our God is a God of second chances. I need second chances, just as Jonah needed a second chance. He's resurrected, he's a new beginning, and he's on the shore, and he has a purpose. And his purpose is to go share this message. As broken as Jonah is, as imperfect as he is, he has the most important message, that there's a loving God, the God of the heavens and the sea, who created us and is in control of everything. And no matter where you are or where you've been, he's in control. And he is the great rescuer who loves you. That message is for you and for me, just like it was for Jonah to be delivered to Nineveh. We've made a mess of our lives. Maybe this morning is a time to return to God, to thank God for rescuing him. Or maybe it's for the very first time you could thank God and rescuing your life, because he has a new purpose, a new beginning for your life. Will you trust him with that? Let's pray. Father, Lord, we don't take your word lightly. You tell us to go and we go the opposite direction. Lord, all of us, your scripture says that all of us have gone astray. Each one of us to our own ways. You say Nineveh and we say Tarshish. Lord, we don't want to do what you call us to do. Lord, but you call us to return to you. You call us to obey you, and that we find life in obeying you. Lord, right now, I pray that some of us, Lord, even right now, that would just pray this with me. God, I have been running from you. Lord, you have rescued me. I believe that you died and that you rose again. That you entered into death so I too could have life with you. We thank you for your son, Jesus. Father, I want to stop doing the hurts, the habits, the hang-ups, the things that I get caught up in. May I follow you. May I trust you. Imperfect as I am, may I begin to follow you. Lord, there might be some of us in the room right now that need a new beginning. That maybe even right now want to declare that I've been running one direction and I want to turn another. And as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, and in Wilshire Live as well, if that's you, and you feel like you've been running from God, and you want a change of course, would you just raise your hand right now? God sees you. God sees you. May you take bold steps of faith in saying, I no longer want to run from you, God. I want to follow you. God, may we trust you with all of our hearts. We thank you for the gift of life that you give us. Although there's a death that you call us to, you promise a new life, the great rescuer. May we run, may we grow, may we enjoy a life with you. We ask that in Jesus' name, amen.